I want to take a few minutes tonight and look at something that's extremely important. Looking at learning. We often perhaps would think about why would we need to look at learning. One thing that is positive is that when we look at things, we take them in, we absorb them. We want to take in, we want to absorb the idea, the concept of learning. Our text this evening is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 17. We know that the Bible was written to those who were of the body of Christ, the letters that were written. They were written so that these people would know what to do. They were written so that they would be able to learn what to do. They were written so that we could take those words and teach others. As Peter was directed to write in that particular letter, in that division of the letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 beginning, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Also, or as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things, or these things, in which are also the other scriptures unto their..." I'll get it right in a minute. I hate bifocals. "Our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." As we look at this particular text, we can see a number of things pointed out here. First and foremost is being diligent. If we want to learn something, we have to be diligent. I was always a little bit envious of those people that sat in class and seemed to absorb like a sponge. The teacher would go over things. "You got it? Any questions?" And before I could raise my hands, a lot of times, she'd move on. Because some of these people got it. They absorbed it. They understood it. I had to be a little more diligent. I had to work at it. But also, as we look at this thing, we see the reference to the Apostle Paul in all his epistles, and we understand fully and clearly that the things that Paul wrote, the things that Paul spoke, just like the things that Peter spoke, were those things that were given to him by the Spirit, speaking in those things, some things hard to be understood. Not everything is at the same level. You take it with mathematics or English or grammar or geography or anything like that, not everything is at the same level. That's why we're able to start our children on the lower grades. And as they learn, as they progress, and as they continue, they go on up the grades, eventually graduating high school, and if they want to, go on into higher learning. That phrase, I think, might be an oxymoron if you're talking about our universities. But that's not what we're talking about. Learning is important. God intended that we learn. Those which are unlearned and unstable rest the scriptures, and they do so to their own destruction. So it is needful that we look into learning, looking at learning. This morning we looked into and discussed understanding the Lord's Supper. And one thing that needs to be done in understanding is to learn. You're not going to understand something until you learn it. You might very well read it. I know a lot of Bibles have in the back of them a system for reading the Bible through in a year. Brother Brandon used to always say, if you read three chapters a night, you can read the whole Bible in the course of a year. Well, the problem with that is your mind usually does not absorb as much when you're reading as it does when you're studying. And there's a big difference in the two. And the focus should be on learning, absorbing, taking it in, lest we also be led away by the error of the wicked. And so that is why the admonition is given in verse 18 there, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. To learn, by definition, is to gain or acquire knowledge of or skill in a particular thing by study, experience, or being taught. I noticed in the prayer just before the sermon this evening, the phrase was used that we might have an open mind, our minds open to the point of receiving information, taking in information, being able to learn what is being said, being able to take the things that are being said as we jot down our notes and however it is that we recall them, and comparing them with scriptures so that we can first and foremost assure that that's what's being taught is proper, and secondly, that we can learn it. I know Linda, a lot of times we'll write things down, and she will write many, many notes, not just here in the service, but she'll be looking through things at home and she'll be writing notes. And for her, it works better if she actually writes it down. She can remember it. There are many times that she learns a grocery list. Now, I know, just like everybody else, we go to the grocery store, and 9 times out of 10, we, number one, buy the same things all the time. Number two, impulse buying. You know, oh, I forgot about that. Let's get some of that. But, 6, 7 times out of 10, did you bring the list? Oh, no, it's on the refrigerator. But I can remember it. I wrote it down. Learning. Learning is important. And we need to find out how it is that we learn. And we can learn many wonderful things while living here on this earthly life. Some things are good, and some things are not so good to learn. And we don't have to experience everything, incidentally, to learn that they're bad, do we? So, the evil that is in the world is not good to learn. But the Word of God, sent from God, and that which contains all things that pertain to life and godliness, well, that's good to learn. If it is from God, it is good, James tells us. If it is God, it leads to eternal life, which is told a number of different times, including when Jesus was here on earth. Therefore, it is profitable to learn these things so that we can be with Him for eternity. God wants us to gain knowledge. He wants us to learn the Word, not just the fact that the Word exists, but to know it so it can guide our lives. If you stop and think about it, what we are, the sum total of what we are, is what we have learned in this life and how we apply it. That's what it all boils down to. What do you know from this life? I mean, I'm not very likely to put my hand on a hot stove, because I learned a long time ago that a stove will burn you. And if it burns you, it causes blisters. And if it causes blisters, it causes discomfort. And if it causes discomfort, that's all it takes is one time to know you don't do that. So we learn many things in life, and we use those things to guide our lives. If indeed we want to be guided, directed from earth to heaven, what better way to do so than to learn the Word of God? And so as we look at this, we can see that God is guiding our lives, and in dealing with His people in all ages or dispensations of times that He has written to them. So let's take the time allotted this evening and let's look at learning from the Bible viewpoint. Let's look at a few general admonitions. In the Psalms 119 and verse 33, first let us know that David did not pen all of the Psalms. He is known as the psalmist. But there were some psalms that people, the scholars, the learned men, claimed that David didn't necessarily write. Well, I say that doesn't matter, because every scripture is given by inspiration. God gave it to it. It doesn't matter if David wrote it or if the man who guarded the door at the palace wrote it. It's still inspired. But what does Psalms 119:33 say? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep them, or keep it until the end. When one is taught, they are to learn. The psalmist had the desire to learn the Word of God and the statutes or the commandments so he could walk in the ways of God. The teacher is given the responsibility of teaching young people. The young people have the responsibility to learn what the teacher is teaching. They do so for the benefit of the student, and ultimately it benefits the teacher as well, because the teacher maintains her job and continues to get paid and is there for next year to teach other kids. But when it comes to the Word of God, we benefit greatly when we know the Word of God and we can walk in His ways. Then we're walking the way God would have us walk. David knew what the Spirit through Jeremiah revealed to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. David and Jeremiah weren't necessarily contemporaries, but both of them received from God through the Spirit words that were important. And David understood this. That's why he said, "Teach me, O Lord." Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." If you leave man to his own devices, he's going to come up with all sorts of ideas, makes all sorts of assumptions. He's going to put in place systems of religion that are contrary to what God would have done. That's not the way to teach people, and that's not what God would have done. Therefore, man needs to be directed by God's Word. Now, how can one be directed in God's Word without learning God's Word? It's a very simple question. It's a very simple answer. You cannot be. Once one is taught properly, they can be as the Romans, which the Spirit had Paul address in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. He said, as he was speaking of those people, as he was writing to them, "And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness." Well, that's a compliment, isn't it? These brethren to whom Paul was writing was filled with goodness. But why were they filled with goodness? Look at the next phrase. "Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Now, here's the question. How do you think that they were filled with knowledge? People say, "Oh, that was easy back then. They just went and found an apostle, and the apostle laid hands on them." Well, it didn't work that way. Yes, the apostle laid hands on people, and the word was, or the gifts of the Spirit were transferred as the Spirit determined they needed to be. Not everybody who had their hands laid upon them were knowledgeable in all things. Some people were given the gift of teaching. Some people were given other gifts. And these people were filled with all knowledge because they learned. They were taught. They listened to the preaching. They listened to the teaching that was being done, oftentimes by men such as Paul, who were directed directly by the Spirit. But the same desire was had for the brethren at Colossae. You'll see this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "And as these brethren were being addressed," you'll see that the same thing that was desired of the Roman brethren, or regarding the Roman brethren, applies to the Colossian brethren. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Two things here. Number one, they prayed for them. They prayed for them that they might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What does that mean? I received a phone call just a few days ago. Matter of fact, it was on the 4th of July, and there was a request for prayer. And there's nothing wrong with making a request for prayer, but people need to understand that the request for prayer needs to be in accordance to God's word. This person had had surgery. "We want you to pray for him." "Well, what do you want me to pray for that person's surgery?" "Well, the person already had the surgery. Was it successful? Why should I pray for that?" And the person to whom I was speaking thought, "Well, you're being a little smart." No, I'm not. I will pray, and I did tell that person, I will pray that the doctors did their job to the utmost of their ability and that it was effective in that individual, and through the means that God has provided in his providence, i.e. medicine, doctors, surgery, that he was would be restored to health. That's what was desired of the people in Colossae, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. But how were they to receive it? They were to learn it. To what end? We see in verse 10 why it is that we should want to learn God's word. Basically goes back to the same thing that David said, or the psalmist said in Psalms 119. But in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1, we see that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's interesting to me how it's almost a perpetual situation. We begin the motion by reading and studying and, of course, being obedient. And then we continue that by more reading, more studying. I'll guarantee you, and all of the people here that are Christians will agree, if you don't, then let me know afterwards and we need to sit down and have some studies, that you know more now than you did when you became a child of God. If you don't know more now than you did when you became a child of God, well, if you were baptized into Christ a few days ago, then I can understand that. But if not, let's sit down, let's have a discussion. But the whole purpose of this is that they might walk worthy of the Lord and continue to increase. So how do we learn? I know different people learn different ways, or different people learn in different fashion. Some people can just read it, or they have to read it in order to learn. I know that if I had to sit in a lecture hall and listen to somebody talk, that I wouldn't learn it. Because after a while, it's not soaking in. I catch myself thinking about something that the person has just said. And it might very well be that some of you say, well, I can't learn anything. He just gets up there and talks. You take notes. You write it down. You jot down the scriptures. You look up the scriptures. There's more work than just sitting there and listening. I'm more likely to absorb something if I read it. I already mentioned Linda writes things down. Different things work for different people relative to learning, but it's important that we learn. How do we learn? Well, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, we find one of the ways in which we can learn. One of the ways in which we can understand, in this particular case, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, as the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those Ephesian brethren, whereby when you read, you may understand. A lot of times people say, I don't understand the Bible. Have you tried to learn the Bible? And nobody's going to learn it all. Nobody's going to understand it all. We can understand the general theme of redemption. We can understand God's saving plan for humanity. And no, there are some things that we're going to have a hard time grasping and understanding. Some things are beyond man's ability to grasp, and God did not give those to us to learn, by the way. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us the secret things belong to God, but those things that are written to us belong to us. But it's our responsibility to read, to understand, and to learn is to progress. It implies teaching. It implies that learning is possible. Have you ever had a situation in which you say, I can't learn this? I can't learn this. Now, a lot of times that's applied to I can't do this. The fact of the matter is you have to learn something before you can do it. You can try to do it, and you may not be able to do it as well as you could, but if you don't try, you're never going to advance or grow. But if you don't learn, you're never going to advance or grow. But the Bible also addresses a lack of learning. You know, there are people that just don't. There are people that just think, well, I know enough. Years ago, we had one woman tell Linda, said, I'm glad I don't know as much as you do. I won't be held as responsible. I'm afraid it doesn't work that way, folks. God gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and every bit of it applies to us. That part that does apply to us in the New Testament age, we are responsible to follow it. But in God's plan to his people, he had Hosea, in Hosea 4:6, say what happened to his people because they would not learn. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, what's the end result of that? Oh, I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to be dumb as I can be. I'm just going to go through life. And when it's all said and done, we'll see how it shakes out. Well, that's not what God said. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. These are God's people. The ones he's writing to are God's people. He said, I will reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me. And we think, oh, that doesn't apply to us because that's the Old Testament. Friends, if you're a child of God, if you are a Christian, you are a priest. And if you are a priest, as a child of God, you're required to learn. And if you don't do that, you're going to be rejected. And he said, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, God didn't just cast the children off. Remember, it's the responsibility of the parents to teach the children. And if they don't, yes, he would forget the children because the children would not follow him. But learning can and should involve intellectual, moral, and general character advancement. So where are we to learn from, or who are we to learn from? We're to learn from Jesus. Jesus is, after all, the source of life. He's the source of knowledge. He's the source of all things. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, we'll see that Jesus spoke to the multitude. And as he was speaking to the multitude, he gave them a general application. He, of course, they could not do this until such time as it was available. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Down through the years, many have learned of Jesus. Many have learned about Jesus and from Jesus because of the words that the Spirit sent, just as Jesus promised those apostles that he would send. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, we see that Jesus also addressed how we would be drawn unto the Father. Oftentimes, I think when people look at religion, they'll say, well, you know, I will embrace religion when God calls me. When they're waiting for some kind of sign, all of a sudden a bright light, or whatever the sign that they think is going to be the one. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. And he explains it in the second verse, but beginning in verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that's wonderful. If God draws you, you will come to Christ, and you will be raised up at the last day. But how does that happen? It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. One cannot be obedient to God unless they know what God wants. Same thing was true in the Old Testament. Why did God give Israel a law? Well, it's just a good thing to do to keep order. No. God gave Israel a law because this was how he expected them to act, to react, and to show their love for him. Why did he give us a New Testament law? Because the plan was fulfilled, which was from the foundation of the world, and he draws us through the Word. And we see the last part of this. Every man therefore that hath learned and hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When we hear the word of God and are taught, then we learn. Going through life, many people have accepted whatever it is that was placed out before them. Thankfully, along the way, somebody puts the truth out before them. And as they put the truth out before them, the people begin looking at it, and they've been listening to it. And they say, wow, I've never heard that before. And then we go some and take a Bible and open it up and start reading it. And then we realize and understand that the same thing that you can read is the same thing that's being said from the pulpit. And then we say, aha, may have stumbled on something here. And then we obey it. That's how we learn of the Father. And that's how we come to him, because then we are obedient. but we're also to learn the meaning of God's words. Oftentimes, and I'm guilty of the same thing, we'll read a passage and it'll be a familiar passage and we'll just rip right through it. Don't we all do that? Pretty much. And sometimes if we just slow down, and if we do, as has been suggested a number of times, break it down. You don't eat a whole cookie with one mouthful most of the time. You break it down into digestible parts. You look at it. Every word given to man in the Word of God is important. Why does it say it the way it says it? So that we might learn. We might learn the true meaning of it. Matter of fact, the whole way that denominationalism came about is because people read through it and they would read a passage somewhere that seems to say that all one has to do is believe. Next thing you know, you got a whole bunch of people out here trying to be religious, trying to follow God, saying, hey, the Bible says all you have to do is believe. Whereas you find another passage which does not support that, which one are you to believe? Ah, that's where you learn. You study. You drill down. You look at these words and you say, what does it say? Why does it say it that way? How can I learn from it? You know, man's taken a lot on himself when he's decided he can say what God said, but in a better way. That's where a lot of these translations have come from. That's where a lot of people say, well, I don't like the way it says it there. I don't like the way it says it in that version. And so I'll find me a version that says it the way I want it said. Well, God said what he said, how he said it, because he wanted it said that way. And people say, well, he didn't write it in English. No, he did not. But the Bible has been translated into most every language across this land and across this globe. And God's word is that which we are to learn, which will help us to understand. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 13, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, told them of his purpose. But first he told them they needed to learn so they could see his purpose. Oftentimes I think that people fall into a trap of thinking Jesus came to save man from his sins. Well, if that's the case, and if that's all there is to it, then why aren't everybody saved? Because Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed his blood and allowed his body to be broken so that humanity could be saved. Then why are not everybody saved? It's because the remainder of the plan was that through his word, they would know what to do. He told them in Matthew 9 and verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It implies that a change has to take place. What are we to learn? We're to learn doctrine. If we don't learn doctrine, how are we going to identify false teachers? Now, the Bible is full of warnings about false teachers. There are going to be people who are going to be teaching things, and some of them, and I will give them this much, some of them perhaps teach some of the things that they teach because they don't know any better. But there are some of them that teach what they teach for whatever reason, maybe even filthy lucre. How are we going to ward off the advances of the false teachers, wherein they lead souls to their destructions, if we don't know the Word of God? In Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, you'll find the Apostle Paul writing as directed by the Spirit there. He told them what to do. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Today people say, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'd a whole lot rather hurt your feelings here than to see your soul burn in hell. And when people teach things that are contrary to the doctrine which they had learned, which came incidentally to the apostles directly from the Spirit, there was no mistake. They weren't going to do like the preacher here will do. Call out the wrong passage. Or read the wrong thing. Or lose his place in the notes. No. Learn those things. Those things that you have been taught. Avoid the people that don't teach those things. In verse 18 it says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That doesn't mean that the people that they're deceiving are ignorant. It means that they're trusting. They're too trusting. Oh, from that you have stuff like, well, my preacher said. I've probably offended some people when I've told them in a very kind and loving way with a smile on my face, I really don't care what your preacher said, unless it's exactly what the Bible said. And if your preacher said something different than what the Bible said, then you need to be informed as to what is correct. And we're all to learn. Even in the early church, the babyhood of the church during the times of the spiritual gifts, they had to be taught when to speak, when to listen, and when to learn. Not everybody could get up and prophesy at one time. Everything was to be done decently and in order. Everything was to be done without confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion going on, it's because man has instituted it. Man has brought it in. Man has taught that that's the way things should be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29 and following, we see, let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the other judge. In verse 30, remember, this is the days of the babyhood of the church, the spiritual gifts. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. Why? First and foremost, it's decent and in order. Secondly, it's the best way that everybody can hear what is going on. And thirdly, we see in verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. Now, prophecy is no longer employed by God. He's revealed everything that he's going to, but we need to learn what he has provided. We need to learn the things that he has given us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we see what the Spirit supplied in the absence of the written word was so that we could all learn. Notice, if you will, this list of gifts, the things from the Spirit. And he gave some apostles. We know who the apostles were. Some of them, most of them, were ones that Jesus himself handpicked and taught while he was here. And then, of course, we have the apostle Paul as one born out of due time. Then we see, and some prophets. Those were those who spoke for. A prophet doesn't always foretell something from the future. The word prophet means one who speaks for another. And then some evangelists. Of course, we know evangelists are preachers, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors, of course, are elders. Why were these things given in the early age of the church, the babyhood of the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building them up through education, teaching them. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, helps us to see that the things that were taught, that were sent from the Spirit, were to be learned. They were also to be remembered, and they were to be taught to others. Oftentimes, we have to be reminded of the things that we have learned. I suspect that if I were to sit down in a desk and to be handed the exact same final exam that I took, way back then, to graduate high school, not having prepared for that particular test at this point, let's say this time I'll probably fail it, because I have not continued in some of those avenues of learning. I have not continued working on those things. As he wrote to Timothy, he said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That was the way the gospel was spread. That's the way the gospel is supposed to be spread today. The young men are to be taught so that they can learn, so that they can participate, so they can begin to work with the church and alongside of the seasoned men of the church. And, in time, teach others. Baptize folks. Teaching them in accordance to the Great Commission. This is how the church is to grow. I really worry about the church of tomorrow. And the reason I worry about the church of tomorrow, there's not enough learning going on. And the reason there's not enough learning going on is because there's not enough teaching going on. People say, well, you know, they really don't want to hear all that. You know, if I want a pep rally, I'll go back to high school. If I want to be motivated, I'll find a motivational speaker. Why are we here? We're here to learn. We're here to be given information so that we can go home and read and study, to be put into remembrance. The 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 through 18 says, as again, Paul is writing to Timothy, directed by the Spirit, he said, of these things, put them in remembrance. Bring it to their mind. Help them to recall it. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, we're not here just to take up time striving about words to no profit. Oftentimes people ask me, do I know the Greek to that? No, I don't know the Greek to anything. I know a handful of words. I probably know about as many Greek words as I do Spanish. But I don't worry about that. As one preacher many years ago said, it's already been hauled out. It's no longer shielded by the Greek language. It's been hauled out and we have it. What are we to do with it? Why do we have it so it's already hauled out? Well, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Wait a minute, study to show whom? Thyself. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what with the word of God? Rightly dividing it. What did I say? We're in 2 Timothy. I am sorry. I saw people looking, people writing, and people stopped writing. And yes, that just goes to show you. The Spirit does not tell me what to say up here. He just gives it to me in His Word, and I'm supposed to learn these things. And I have it right here in front of me. But we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God for our own benefit, for the benefit of the church, so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Furthermore, he said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of course, he called names here. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I know in this congregation there's nobody named Hymenaeus or Philetus. But these people were false teachers because they took that which was out there and they strove over words to no profit. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Yes, that truth is a problem in the church today. People are not being taught the way they should be. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we're told how we can learn the things of God, how we can know the examples that He has given us in His Word. And as these examples are given to us, we cannot learn the Word of God unless we study it. I know sometimes we think, you know, I've got all the education I need. I said that one time years ago. Somebody said, are you going to college? Are you kidding me? I'm going to get a job. Why? Because there's no money in college. I'm glad I didn't go to college. I'd have wasted 4 years. But I've not stopped learning. And neither should anyone else. We've got to learn. We've got to continue to learn the Word of God. And we cannot put others in remembrance if we don't know the Word. And we are never going to get to the point where we know enough. Notice in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. One last point, and I know time's getting away from us. We are to learn obedience. This is of utmost importance, not just our initial obedience, but all the way through our Christian lives. Obedience is important. We recognize, some people do, that obedience is important when it comes to, let's just say, their dogs. I know a lot of people spend a lot of money sending their dogs, and I'm not opposed to dogs in any shape, fashion, or form. If you want one, I'm glad that you want one. I'm glad that you have one. But dogs, like children, need to be taught obedience. I know that there have been parents in the past that have said, well, I just can't do anything with him. It happens. There are animals that you can't do anything with, that you can't make. But why did God want us to learn obedience? How did he tell us that he wanted us to learn obedience? Well, he sent us an example. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. We see that Christ set the example for this as well. When he came here, he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh when he comes to earth. But what did he do? Though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect or complete, in other words, he completed the plan of God, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Can we learn obedience? Sure we can. Can we learn to learn? I hope we can. Because if we can learn to learn, then we will know more. And if we know more, we can be much more secure in our hope of heaven. Matter of fact, if we don't learn, we're not going to grow. That's a sad, sad commentary on people. If we're not learning, we're not going to grow. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, we'll begin to draw this sermon to a close. As the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy there, the Spirit gave him these words to write: "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." That's what we're to do. We're to learn, we're to continue in those things, knowing that they are the Word of God. The question then is, are you striving to learn? Have you learned what one must do in order to become a child of God? Looking out upon this particular group of people, I see that we are Christians. I don't see any out here that have not obeyed the gospel. But it's always good to review, to know what God's word says. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first step is to hear." And some people might say, "Well, what about if you read it?" Yes, you can read it. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Secondly, one is to believe. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What had Philip done? He'd begun at that same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. And as he preached unto him Jesus, he believed. And he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Obviously, he'd repented. He was ready for baptism once he would confess. But Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 and 5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." As we get to confess here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And then one is to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins. That's what Saul was told, having prayed for 3 days. "And now, why tarriest thou?" Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Having done that, a person then, while they continue to learn, must remain faithful unto death. The church, the whole congregation at Smyrna was told that. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part of which said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." If, being here this evening, you realize, understand that you have sin in your life, and you've not taken care of that sin, you have a golden opportunity to do so, which is another opportunity or reason for having the invitation. It's so that a child of God can come back to him in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 says that very thing: "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." As we stand and open our song books to the selected songs, we sing the verses that were called out. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come?